This is ARN.
Decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host, coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. Good to have you with us. It is Friday, the 29th day of March, 2024. And this is Squirrel Chatter, a podcast dedicated to scripture, theology, history, current events, and whatever else I want to talk about. We webcast every Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Mountain on X, Facebook, and Rumble. And then the audio podcast is available for download wherever you find fine podcasts. Squirrel Chatter is a proud member of the Christian podcast community. Head on over to ChristianPodcastCommunity.com. Check out all the great curated podcasts that are over there. You are certain to find something worth listening to. I guarantee it. Oh, good to have you with us, folks. Friday is upon us. It is Easter weekend. Whole slate of events coming up on Sunday at Frenchtown Community Church. We've got the sunrise service at the West Pavilion at Frenchtown Pond, and that is going to be at 8 o'clock Sunday morning. And that is followed by breakfast at the church about 9, and then our regular, well, our Easter service at 10:30 at the regular time for Sunday worship. And then we have plans, Mrs. Squirrel and I, to get together with our extended family that's in the area for an afternoon Christmas dinner, Christmas Easter dinner. Easter dinner. We're going to have the whole thing, ham, potatoes, all different sorts of stuff to munch on. Looking forward to that. And so it's going to be a busy weekend, but I wanted to let you know, that there is going to be a special edition of Squirrel Chatter tomorrow and Easter morning. And this is to lay out to finish out our devotional reading, because we're doing Holy Week scripture and devotional readings this week, and we have a reading for Saturday, and we have a reading for Easter Sunday, and I'm going to do those tomorrow and Sunday. Tomorrow's going to be a little bit later. It is Saturday. I am not getting up as early, so tomorrow will be at 8:30, and then Sunday will be early, because that'll be at 6:30, because I have to leave the house at 7:15 to get to the sunrise service. And I have to be there because I'm preaching the sunrise service. So that is the plan for the weekend. So we've got a couple of special, they're going to be shorter episodes. They're not going to be the full thing. We're just going to do the scripture and devotional reading. But that will be Saturday and Sunday morning. And then, you know, make sure you get to church on Sunday. So I guess that kind of tells you what we got coming up today. We have scripture reading from the Legacy Standard Bible. We have prayers from the Book of Common Prayer. We have a reading from John MacArthur's Daily Readings from the Life of Christ. And we have our Holy Week scripture and devotional reading. And again, we're doing a devotional that was put out by First Baptist Church of Lyndale, Texas, and published in cooperation with G3 Ministries out of Atlanta, and that is the Holy Week readings that we are doing. There's a lot more in that devotional than just the Holy Week readings, and so I would encourage you, it's a free download, the link is in the show notes, I would encourage you to download that and give it a look. All right, let us begin with our prayer of confession from the 2019 Book of Common Prayer. Excuse me. I'll take a sip of coffee. All right, here we go. The prayer of confession from the 2019 Book of Common Prayer. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And apart from your grace, there is no health in us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare all those who confess their faults. Restore all those who are penitent, according to your promises declared to all people in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may now live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Grant to your faithful people, merciful Lord, pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins, and serve you with a quiet mind, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now our prayer for the reading of the Word. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience in the comfort of your holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our scripture readings today are Exodus 17 and Psalm 67. Exodus 17. Then all the congregation of the sons of Israel journeyed by stages from the wilderness of Sin, according to the command of Yahweh, and they camped at Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people contended with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you contend with me? Why do you test Yahweh?" But the people thirsted there for water, and they grumbled against Moses and said, "Why now have you brought us up from Egypt to put us and our children and our livestock to death with thirst?" So Moses cried out to Yahweh, saying, "What shall I do to this people? A little more, and they will stone me." Then Yahweh said to Moses, "Pass before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand your staff with which you struck the Nile, and go, behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So he named the place Massah and Meribah, because of the contending of the sons of Israel, and because they tested Yahweh, saying, "Is Yahweh among us or not?" Then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose men from us and go out, fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will take my stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." And Joshua did as Moses told him, to fight against Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So it happened when Moses raised up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let his hands down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. Then they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then Yahweh said to Moses, "Write this in a book as a memorial, and recite it in Joshua's hearing, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and named it, "Yahweh is my banner." And he said, "Because he has sworn with a hand upon the throne of Yah, Yahweh will have war against Amalek from generation to generation." And now Psalm 67. The 67th Psalm for the choir director with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. God be gracious to us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all the nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you will judge the peoples with uprightness and lead the nations on the earth, Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, blesses us. God blesses us, that all the ends of the earth may fear him. This is the word of the Lord. And now our reading from Daily Readings from the Life of Christ, Volume 1. Today's devotion is entitled, Not Counting the Cost. Then a scribe came and said to him, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus said to him, The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Matthew 8:19-20. Dr. MacArthur writes, There is no record that the eager scribe ever counted the cost of discipleship. When considering various costs such as self-denial, homelessness, and maybe suffering, the man disappears. No doubt Christ's words struck where he was most vulnerable, and he could not overcome loyalty to himself and his comfort. Jesus never watered down the gospel message as many evangelistic appeals do today. That only compromises God's word and does a severe disservice to those who hear such a message. The Lord, by contrast, did not mince words with the apostles. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Matthew 10:16. And he continued that tone at the end of his ministry. These things I have spoken to you so that you may be kept from stumbling. They will make you outcasts from the synagogue, but an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think he is offering service to God. Neither did Paul waver from stern words of reminder that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Knowing and following Jesus Christ includes thrills and joys unlike any others, but they are not the kind the world can understand or appreciate. See John 14:27. Living the Christian life is not simply adding Jesus on to your own lifestyle, but it entails the renouncing of your ways for his and being ready to pay the price he may require. See Matthew 16:24. Ask yourself, what have been some of the major costs of discipleship in your own life? How have you responded to them? Have they ultimately drawn you closer to Christ, or have you often allowed them to drive a wedge between you and the Lord? All right. It is Good Friday as we continue with our Holy Week scripture and devotional. This is the traditional day marking the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. Our scripture reading for Good Friday is Mark 15:1-41. And early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders and scribes and the whole Sanhedrin immediately held counsel and, binding Jesus, led him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate questioned him, Are you the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, You yourself say it. And the chief priests began to accuse him of many things. Then Pilate was questioning him again, saying, You answer nothing? See how many accusations they bring against you? But Jesus made no further answer, so Pilate marveled. Now at the feast he used to release for them any one prisoner whom they requested. And the man named Barabbas had been imprisoned with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the crowd went up and began asking him to do as he had been accustomed to do for them. And Pilate answered them, saying, Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews? For he was aware that the chief priests had delivered him over because of envy. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to ask him to release Barabbas for them instead. And answering again, Pilate was saying to them, Then what shall I do to him whom you call the king of the Jews? And they shouted again, Crucify him. But Pilate was saying to them, Why? What evil did he do? But they shouted all the more, Crucify him. And wishing to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas for them, and after having Jesus scourged, he delivered him over to be crucified. So the soldiers took him away into the palace, that is, the praetorium, and they called together the whole Roman cohort. And they dressed him up in purple, and after twisting a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to greet him, Hail, King of the Jews! And they kept beating his head with a reed and spitting on him. And kneeling, they were bowing down before him. And after they had mocked him, they took the purple robe off him and put his own garments on him, and they led him out to crucify him. And they pressed into service a passerby coming from the countryside, Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. Then they brought him to the place Golgotha, which is translated place of the skull. And they tried to give him wine mixed with myrrh, but he would not take it. And they crucified him, and divided up his garments among themselves, casting lots for them to decide who should take what. Now it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And they crucified two robbers with him, one on his right and one on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And he was numbered with transgressors." And those passing by were blaspheming him, shaking their heads and saying, "Ha, you who are going to destroy the sanctuary and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself by coming down from the cross." In the same way, mocking him to one another, the chief priests also, along with the scribes, were saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let this Christ, the King of Israel, now come down from the cross, so that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him were also insulting him. And when the sixth hour came, darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And when some of the bystanders heard it, they began saying, "Look, he is calling for Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave him a drink, saying, "Let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus, uttering a loud cry, breathed his last. And the veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion, who was standing right in front of him, saw the way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was God's son." And there were also some women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James the Less, and Joseph, and Salome, who, when he was in Galilee, were following him and serving him. And there were many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. The devotional is now written by Michael Pettiette. Scene by scene, as Jesus is brought to meet different people, we see greater and greater levels of abuse. As it were, through the trial and crucifixion narratives, Christ slowly ascends to the hill of Golgotha, while at the same time slowly descending into ever-deepening levels of agony and abandonment, culminating with the lowest point imaginable, my God, why have you forsaken me?" First, we see the chief priests forsake their Messiah, verses 1 through 5. Those who should have received him, having studied the scriptures their entire lives, chose to renounce him. Second, the crowds demanded his death, and Pilate abandoned his duty to uphold justice, verses 6 through 15. Those who should have received him as King of the Jews chose to demand his blood, and the man who should have protected the innocent abandoned him to the mob. Third, the soldiers rejected the Savior and King of the world, verses 16 through 21. And those who crucified him cared more for his garments than for his life, verses 22 through 26. Those who were created by the Son, who ought to have given him their worship, instead chose to mock, beat, crucify, and rob their Lord. Fourth, those who pass by, and even those crucified on the left and the right, mock him, verses 27 through 32. Those who listened to his teaching rejected his message and scorned his promise to save. Fifth, his friends and disciples look on and cannot help him, but are only able to grieve at a distance or have already run away, verses 40 through 41. Jesus is truly alone at this point. The only one left who hadn't forsaken him was his God. And finally, worst of all, God poured out his divine wrath upon the Son's human soul, verses 33 through 39. He has come to this moment alone, bereft of all human friendship and help. The Son, according to his human nature, had perfectly followed God's laws, experienced uninterrupted communion as a man with his Father, being filled with God's Spirit without measure. Yet on the cross, for one terrible moment, he was counted as the worst of sinners, even bearing the full wrath of God as the punishment for sins that his people deserved. Why must Jesus be abandoned by all? Why must he face this terrible moment alone? Because God's sacrifice must be given by God alone. He has no co-redeemers. It was the compassion of God alone that led him to assume a human nature in the person of the Son. It was his initiative to save us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. No one else gave the Son but God alone. No one else loved the world like how God loved the world. Therefore, no one else but God will accomplish our redemption. In the crucifixion, this compassion and love reaches its highest point, where the Son lovingly chose, according to his human will, to endure the punishment of sin in his human soul, fulfilling the will of God before creation. We were not redeemed with any corruptible thing, whether it be gold, silver, or even man's effort and help, but with the precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but appeared in these last times for the sake of you. 1 Peter 1:19 and 20. And now let us recite our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now the Collect for Good Friday. Almighty God, we beseech you graciously to behold this, your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and given into the hands of sinners and to suffer death upon the cross, who now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. The Collect for Endurance. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first he suffered pain, and entered not into glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace, through Jesus Christ your Son, our Lord. Amen. And for the unrepentant we pray. Merciful God, you desire not the death of sinners, but rather that they should turn to you and live. And through your only Son, you have revealed yourself as the God who pardons iniquity. Have mercy on the unrepentant and those who do not believe. Awaken in them by your word and Holy Spirit a deep sense of their sinfulness and peril. Take from them all ignorance, hardness of heart, and contempt of your word. Grant them to know and feel that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which they must be saved, but only the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so bring them home and number them among your children, that they may be yours forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. All right, folks, that is Squirrel Chatter for this Good Friday. I hope you have a marvelous day. If your church has a Good Friday service, make sure you're there. It's important. And in any case, be at church Easter Sunday. It is the most important holy day of the Christian calendar, the day of the resurrection of Jesus Christ for he suffered and died for our sin, and he was raised for our redemption. And it is the heart of the gospel. So if you have not believed the gospel, I would urge you to repent and believe, put your faith in Jesus Christ. He lived the perfect life you can't live, and then he died the death to pay for the penalty for sins. And if you put your faith in him, your sins will be paid for at the cross, and you will receive in the place of your sins his perfect righteousness. So I urge you, repent and believe the gospel, and be at church on Easter Sunday. Now, as you go through the day, do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not do. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. We'll see you again here tomorrow for another episode of Squirrel Chatter. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.